And you might remember when we were discussing that lesson, I used that verse and I brought your attention to the full meaning of one particular word in that verse that explodes this entire message. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then that one word says acknowledge Him, and that's the root word know. That's the word, Hebrew word, yada. That is become, get to a point where you have a direct, intimate relationship with God. If you're going to experience God, you have to understand what that means. So it's not just memorizing that verse. It's not just saying, yes, that fits with everything else. There's a pivot in that verse. And when it says acknowledge, that root word is yada, which means know. And if you look up your commentaries and things, direct, intimate contact. That's not head knowledge. Yes, it includes head knowledge, but head knowledge is worthless without the intimacy of knowing Him. So that we talked about that night. Talked about that being one of the ways that when you understand He is inviting me and I am acknowledging Him and I am trusting Him, what does that really mean? Let me just real quickly tell some of the highlight points we talked about last week. When we're talking about God speaking, I said divine truth must always be revealed. So when you're saying God speaks, don't just say He speaks in, you know, in a scholastic manner. He speaks in a certain language, or He speaks in a disciplined 1, 2, 3. Divine truth must be revealed. I have worked with a particular ministry. I think I mentioned this. I work with a particular ministry that the head of that ministry literally knows the entire Bible from the first verse to the last verse by heart. He totally knows that entire Bible. He can quote verbatim the entire Bible. Huh? He is that way. But here's the difference in Don Finto and him. This particular ministry, it is a scholastic knowledge that he reiterates. He does not have the experiential relationship that Don Finto has. Now you're talking about not only knowing the word, but having an experiential relationship that it becomes alive. So divine truth must be revealed. And then I said, when God speaks, you will know that it's Him. So I'm just hitting some high points that we talked about last week. And then anybody who wants to jump in and add to, because we had some good discussion, extremely good discussion last week. I said the important thing is not how He spoke, but the fact that He speaks. Now, a lot of people will become so scholarly that they split hairs over how He speaks. That is not nearly as important as just the fact that He does speak to us. That He does communicate is critical. And a real major reason that we don't hear from God, and somebody tell me, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the sermon last Sunday when Steve told about being, was introduced to Edward Meese, you know, and he said, what do you do? He said, I'm a pastor. And then Meese said something back to him. And I'm trying to remember exactly what that was. If y'all don't tell me, I'm going to have to go back and listen to it.
He said something about the problem with American
the pulpit. The church.
Pulpit,
not speaking truth from the pulpit. Is that what it was?
Something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Something like that? Okay.
And he said he was doing the best he could see it.
That one just hit me. I mean, Can you imagine a brief encounter with somebody of that stature and him to say that? And what God is doing in Steve's life. That God communicates is great, but the major reason...
That was an affirmation for Pastor.
Right, totally.
That was God affirming him.
Totally,
him.
Yes.
Man sees it.
Thank you.
Followed. You know that you're following me in it.
Thank
it
you.
Scary, but
yes.
I'm affirming you.
Yes.
You're doing what needs to be done, even though it's hard.
But now the statement that I made last week, and I think is the reason these pastors, these pulpits aren't hearing from God. Overall, we have lost a sense of awe of God, about God. We have become a culture that has lost that. We've lost a sense of awe about His Word. We've lost the holy expectation if we hear the Bible read, spoken. We've lost that sense of expectation. And this is another, you just plant this and it'll grow. When God speaks, nothing remains the same.
Versus a lot of these preachers, when they have their sermon, they go to sermons101.com and they print it out. And it's interesting because I actually had firsthand experience of seeing it kind of in action, and that is the preacher was telling the music person, you know, well, next week we're going to be doing this, how to hear your music. And he printed out the next 2-3 sermons in a row of what it was going to be, and his whole sermon was all typed out and all that, and it's like, I looked at that and I thought, did you just get that off the internet, or is that from your denomination, or what? I just can't see how somebody could be 2-3 weeks ahead, have it all typed out word for word, what you were going to do, and I could be wrong, but I just, it hit me that you have Steve saying, Lord, what do you want me to speak this Sunday, you know? Let me speak to my flock versus some that, you know.
Mm.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think when we hear Steve, we are hearing the Word of God.
Fresh.
What trying to say versus, well, here's another Sunday I got done. And
yeah. I've already seen him change the order of when he presents again. I've told him to.
Right.
So, I mean, he has a plan of his series, obviously.
Right. You'll see that order change sometime between him and Jonathan. I mean, there literally will something happen. That's just, you know, I know pastors, that would just mess them up. Just they could not do that. Let me tell you a personal experience. The first time that I realized what you're talking about exists so strongly, I was minister of music at a church in Fort Worth. Had gone in, the church, this is a church that we knew the people before, and they'd moved into this beautiful facility, 2,400-seat auditorium, just a beautiful building. And the pastors, they were twin brothers, we were pastors there, and they were what you just described. The church just kept going down, 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 down. And that's...
Get their formulas in order.
That's right. And I here we then took over that church, and so I was privy to all of their office file cabinets. And so I had file drawers full of what you just described. They had several years of sermons prepared. And that's the first time I'd ever seen that.
The past years that they've already done it.
Yeah, every 6-7 years they'd repeat the same sermon.
You know, the other side that one year we were going on a State Farm trip to Montreal, and my folks lived in Scroon Lake, New York. Dad was the overseas director of Word of Life. We got in Saturday, and he got a call from a church just off the interstate up near Plattsburgh. We were going to go right by it, and he asked me if I would speak in the church. And I said, well, sure, that'd be great. So, nice building, about 150 people. So we brought the message, and afterwards the deacon board said, Don, we're having a meeting. We are praying that the Lord would direct us to a new pastor. The one we had was really on point for about a year. Then we noticed that the messages were really falling off. So we had a meeting with him, and we said, Pastor, is there something wrong? He said, yes, I've run out of seminary notes, and I don't have any more.
Oh, sad.
Their question to me was, what do you ask when you interview a potential pastor to avoid that? And I said, ask them one question. Do you have a personal time of devotion in the Word every day? If they do, they'll never run out of material. I said, now, I'm a layman, and I have a time of devotion every morning, and I get 2 or 3 potential messages out of each devotion.
Amen.
They'll never run out. That's the question.
Yes, great.
And if they can't answer that, yes, then find another candidate.
There you go. That's great, Don. Another part of this, and this is very relative to, we're talking about pastors, and we shouldn't just be talking about pastors. We're talking about those of us who are becoming this intimate with God so that He has a word for us, preparation for us. There were instant in season, out of season. We're doing what Don said, have a daily devotion. And sometimes if you don't, one of the things, how many of y'all, I don't know if that I mentioned this group, how many of y'all have ever used a particular series of prayer books called
Prayers That Avail Much,
went blank. There's millions have been sold, Prayers That Avail Much. And it is really the Amplified Bible that is simply by category, by topic, so that you are able to use, they have three of the general, one for businessmen, one for husbands, one for wives, one for children. They've got many, many different ones. Here's the issue. Now, in my background, I would have said, oh, no, I could not use the common book of prayer. I'm not going to let somebody else's prayer and then me read it. But there's a difference. This is the Word. It's simply categorized by topic. And what it does is that it becomes a primer, a prompter. I call it the old country way. Remember the old pumps? Yeah, you remember. Yeah, Louisiana had them like we did in Mississippi. Yeah.
Prime the pump.
That's what it is. If you had one of those old hand pumps, you had to put water in it so that you would prime it, so you could prime the pump. Well, I'm being a little bit oversimplified, but that literally is what these did for me in my life, is to take these, read the Word about a specific area, specific need, and it would prime the pump of my prayer life. It would spawn prayer that was alive, that was quick, and it was the Word working. So anyway, God speaks, and when He does, nothing ever remains the same. And that was a great session last week, and y'all had a lot of good comments. One of the things I said, make time for formal deliberate prayer to communicate with God, but then times to listen to His voice for supernatural understanding. Pray, but it's a two-way. Listen. Meditate. Listen. And that good old Verizon commercial, never drop the signal. Can you hear me now? And He's never out of range. So that was a good session last week on hearing God's voice. Beg your pardon?
Prayers
that avail much. That's a series.
Avail.
That's a good King James word.
Avail yourself of godly knowledge.
Amen. I also enjoyed the series, The Power of a Praying Nation, The Power of a Praying Wife. Those are good too. They do similar things. She uses scripture as well. And talk big time. But it gives you, like I remember when I was a younger one, I needed more ideas to pray for my husband. I bought The Power of a Praying Wife. Because I was like, Lord, what are his needs as a man, as a husband? As, you know, so I bought to help me think of more things because I felt like I was just spinning the same idea every year.
Yeah. Well, I must tell you, I tried being a part of Lifeway. We had 150 or 60 retail stores, and I was extremely aware of the impact spiritually that this series had had, and I kept trying to get our stores to carry them. But if you don't know it, the Baptist world is a little bit resistive to things that are too overtly of the Holy Spirit from the standpoint of, you know, I said, it's just Scripture. And the head of the store said, yeah, but it's the emphasis they put and the number they put, and it's overboard. I just can't carry those. So forever, we wouldn't carry them in our stores. I said, well, they've only sold about 8 million copies. I'm sorry. All right, let's watch the video.
Just a real awful, terrible experience, whatever. Anyway, so my brother